This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fumed. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
Outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hi.
On today's episode, we're chatting with Mark Newbold from Jedi News about Star Wars Celebration Europe. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And yes, Mark's with us. Mark is back. Hello, Mark.
Evening all. How are you?
Doing well.
You're going to make us jealous tonight.
No, I won't possibly do that.
You don't even
have
to.
Unintentionally, if I do.
All you have to say is, I went to Celebration Europe and we'll be jealous, so.
I did. I went to Celebration Europe.
Oh, see, we're jealous now.
Sorry.
Oh, my. Okay, well, a little bit of housekeeping here at the top. Nancy and I are going to be busy for the next few weeks, visiting relatives and all that, going on a boat, preparing for Dragon Con. But so while we won't be here, we do have a special treat for you listeners. Staff writers Bria and Emily will be pinch hitting for 1 week, and they will be hosting the podcast in our place.
This will be a podcast that you will not listen to with children around.
No, I highly suggest that you listen to a different podcast.
Parental discretion advised.
No, listen to our podcast, just don't have children present. And what else?
We'll be airing our John Jackson Miller interview the last week in August, so right after Kenobi comes out. We'll be putting out the interview. It is spoiler filled, so if you have not read the book, do not listen to the podcast. We are warning you now. We will keep warning you, because if one person complains to me that we spoiled the book, I will find them and punch them.
Oh dear. And at some point after, we'll probably do a Kenobi roundtable review with Bria, and maybe Emily if she reads it by then. But if you need our non-spoiler filled take right now, go pre-order the book.
Go get it.
Go pre-order it. You need that book in your life yesterday.
If you need a reason why, Star Wars Book Facebook page posted the first mini excerpt, and it made me want to go and reread the book again.
Awesome. So before we move on any further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link at Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast.
And with that, we'll briefly talk about what's new on the blog. It's been a little light just because I've been moving across the country.
Excuses.
I know, but we still had some stuff. Nancy, what's new on the blog since we last got together?
I had my friend Amanda write about her very negative experience at Fandom Fest, which was a recent convention in Louisville, Kentucky. She's been there before, had some fun times, but basically this year she spent 8 hours in line and ended up having to leave before she ever got the autograph. So basically it was very disorganized, lots of people not knowing what they were doing and not giving good directions. Basically the opposite of any celebration. So I had heard a lot of people talking about it on social media, so I asked her to write up about it just to get more exposure, and hopefully they'll fix this con for next year, because it's always crappy when a con doesn't do well.
Yeah, and it's really disappointing. I mean, the worst thing possible is when people stand in line for 8 hours and there's no semblance of order and you don't even get what you were hoping for out of the line.
Yeah. So that was that. We also had Bria write about the Knights of the Old Republic video game. And her claim was that the game doesn't get any more Star Wars than this.
And it's inspired me that maybe it's time for me to replay Knights of the Old Republic, especially since I have it sitting on my iPad.
I want to play. Okay. I never finished it.
Oh, okay. We'll have to play it.
Mark, have you played KOTOR?
Years and years and years ago, the guy I used to run lightsaber with, Louis, was a mad gamer, so I used to kind of sit there and watch him play it. Because I'm hoped I've had every games console ever. I had Pong when I was about 3. but I only ever buy games consoles so I can buy the Star Wars games. And because I'm a sad geeky collector, I kind of just buy the games and then never play them. but I'm familiar with everything, which is annoying. But I should know more about computer games, but I don't. But I wish I did. Terrible.
So yes, Bria wants you to go play KOTOR. So.
And if you haven't played it and you own an iPad, you can get it for $9.99 in the Apple Store.
Not bad.
It's also available on Steam for a pretty good price if you've got a PC handy. And I heartily recommend and agree with Bria, you should play it.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we're going to slide into Fixer's Flash, the geeky things we've been up to in the last week or so. And as is tradition, we start with Nancy.
I started reading a new book. It's called The Darwin Elevator by Jason Huff. It was just released, I think, this week or last week. I can't remember exactly when, but it's been getting really, really great reviews. I follow his agent on Twitter, and she was talking it up, and then I happened to read an interview with the author where he was giving away a copy, and so I actually got a free copy from a Twitter giveaway who says Twitter isn't worth anything. And so I've been reading through that. I haven't gotten very far because of being busy with stuff. But so far, it's really, really good. It's fun sci-fi set in the future where there's a space elevator in the town of Darwin, Australia. And there's... basically, everyone in the world has turned into sort of zombie-like creatures because of this illness, and the elevator gives off this aura that, you know, prevents people from succumbing to this disease. So basically, everyone who lives there is in, like, you know, slums and squalor because there's all these people there, and... the main character is one of the people who's actually immune to this disease, so he can go elsewhere and scavenge and stuff. So it seems like a really cool story, very Firefly-esque. So if you are a sci-fi fan, I'd definitely suggest picking that up. And he's also got two other books in the trilogy that are coming out pretty quickly, I think, within the next few months. And they're all in paperback. So it kind of harkens back to the old paperback sci-fi original books.
Paperback writer.
I have no...
Sorry. Sorry, couldn't help.
I started that.
I have no idea what just happened, but I love it.
And these are the things that are going to happen now that we're podcasting together from Tashi Station's live studio broadcasting center.
Oh, you segued into one of my next items.
That wasn't intentional, but fantastic.
with the quote-unquote help of IKEA, land of Swedish furniture, we built a new podcast studio.
And it only took us 3 hours to assemble a dresser.
Well, the bookshelf thing seemed like it wouldn't be that hard. But the problem is, you know, they have those wooden dowels that you're supposed to attach the shelves with. They don't attach as cleanly as they say they're supposed to. They're lies. It's all lies.
Is this like a ready-made IKEA podcast studio? Because, I mean, over here in the UK, everything that IKEA makes has got a really weird name. Like, you buy a bookcase and it's called Billy.
Yes.
I'm assuming you buy a pre-built podcast studio and it's called Cadpost or something. What was it called?
Well, I actually have the Billy bookcase. I'm staring at it right now. No, this that we got is called the Ectorp, which is a sort of cubby-shaped bookshelf, like just basically cubes. And we got the 4x4 one. There's also 2x2 and 6x6. And then there's a desk that you can attach to the bookshelf that comes out. So, like, we're sitting across from it right now, so we can actually be looking at each other and stuff. And we can have all of our Star Wars memorabilia displayed on the bookshelf.
See, this is great.
Very impressive.
This is great. Now that we can actually see each other, we'll be able to kill dead air because I can see when you've stopped talking.
And when I'm taking a drink of water. And it has a... Brian can put the mixer in the cubby hole. It's all nice and neat, and we just have to organize it a little bit more. But yeah, podcast studio.
I feel like we need a name for this studio other than the Itachi Station broadcast studio.
I
should start a competition. Start a competition. You need to name it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I love it. I've got giveaway items.
We do.
Too.
We have a lot of giveaway items. So yeah. That's a good idea.
Fantastic. We're going to have to do that. On a future podcast episode, we'll post a link or a picture of the studio, and listeners in the chat can offer suggestions. Best name wins a prize. We've got all sorts of promotional books from Delray, and we'll let you choose whichever one you want.
Yep. Once I get everything organized in here.
So, lovely.
We welcomed, my friends and I welcomed Brian to Florida with a rousing game of Cards Against Humanity, and we also went to Geek Trivia. And one of the rounds for Cards Against Humanity was very humorous. Our friend Shannon had played a hand that said, "My life is ruled by a vicious cycle of Darth Vader and the systematic destruction of entire people and their way of life."
Uncanny. I love that.
Yeah.
I love
and
that game.
At Geek Trivia, we were not doing so well. We were like kind of middle of the pack, maybe a little bit lower, until the last round. Mark, guess what the last round of Geek Trivia was?
Oh, blimey! Blake 7.
No, even better. It was Star Wars quotes.
So yes, and yes. In this format, you're allowed to wager points.
You earn your points, and you can like, it's the game is geared to benefit you because there's three categories per round, and you can do 2, 4, or 6 points for each question. So if you know you got the answer right, you're gonna put it has 6 points, so you get more points. So by the end of the game, the last round, you can wager as many points as you want. And it's a five part question. You have to get them all right. And if you get one of them wrong or all of them wrong, you lose all the points. But if you get them all right, you get all the points. So you can...
Sorry, we just had a little bit of feedback there in the recording.
I was like, why am I hearing my voice? Okay.
But yes, you can get all the points.
This whole trivia night thing sounds fantastic.
Yeah, so I got, there's the 5 quotes, and you had to say who said them and the movie they were in. And wow. I was doing the answers, and I wrote them all without consulting anyone. And then we got it right. So we went from like 5th or 6th place to 3rd place. Thanks to Star Wars Trivia. Woo!
If you're in the Orlando area, Geek Trivia every Tuesday night at a comic shop.
Yep.
That's the name of the place, a comic shop.
But yeah, it was fun. And that's about it.
Yeah, and as for me, I've been reading Razor's Edge by Martha Wells. Still enjoying it very much. Yeah, it's good. I haven't been up to anything else because unpacking.
I realize that Fixer's Flash is basically going to become what we're going to be doing the same things all the time now, except for what we're reading.
Yeah, so we might want to just get rid of the delineation between you and me moving forward.
Hey, I'm still my own person.
Uh huh.
Don't take away my identity.
perish the thought. All right, Mark, what have you been up to?
Well, it's not the most geeky thing in the world, but we're having a loft conversion at my house. And at the moment, that will be the geek room. That will be the room where all the sci-fi stuff and all the comics and everything goes up there. My wife now wants it to be the bedroom because it looks amazing, but it's not. It's going to be the geek room. So, and it will be called the A-Wing. My friend James, who I do Jedi News with, has got his room, and his is the X-Wing, so mine is the A-Wing.
Nice.
So I'm just deciding at the moment where all the shelves are going to go because, it's a lot of wall space, which is brilliant because I've got loads of stuff. And it gives me room to breathe and fill out and that. But it's just, where are we going to put the shelves and where's the desk going to go? So not the geekiest thing in the world, but it's just, all that pre-planning and getting it all ready. So, I would say that's probably my thing. I've also got Razor's Edge. It arrived today. So I'm hoping to get started on that soon, cool. But I've still got to finish Kenobi. I've only heard good things about it. So.
Oh, you're going to love Kenobi. So good. And with that, that's what we've been up to. Not a whole lot, but it's something. With that, we move into Deke's Dirt, news and rumors from around fandom. And obviously, we start with the news out of Celebration Europe. We're just going to glance through these points since we'll be talking about this as our discussion topic. But the biggest news we got was confirmation that John Williams will indeed be returning for episode 7 and hopefully all of the sequel trilogy.
Yay! That's good news.
That is good news. I mean, my thoughts on this are this is going to be the first Star Wars without Lucas at the helm, and one of the best ways you can get some continuity across all these eras, bring back John Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it because I've read EU for so long, and it would seem less like Star Wars to me if John Williams wasn't doing the music than if someone else is directing it. Like, that's the glue that holds everything together.
I mean, I know some people were hoping that Abrams would bring Giacchino in, but
no one hoped that. They're all crazy.
There were people out there. These are also the same people that think John Williams is a hack, but. As an ex-music major, I will say I find your opinion
disturbing.
Were
you at that panel, Mark?
I was at that panel. I was very, very, very pleased to be at that panel. And when that news came on, we'll talk about this later, obviously, but I think people were expecting other news things to come out of Celebration Europe, but I don't think anything would have got a warmer response than that. Because like you say, Lucas, Macquarie and Williams, they're the triumvirate that makes Star Wars Star Wars, and George is still involved as a creative consultant. Ralph's no longer with us, but his influence is obviously going to have some bearing on the trilogy, and John's still doing what John does, so it was great news, and it couldn't have been anybody else. I mean, of course, Giacchino's done some Star Wars, he did Star Tours, he understands how it all works, and by all accounts, he's a good friend of Williams, so I think maybe one day in the future, he will be, the baton will be passed, so to speak, but not quite yet.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Giacchino was wound up scoring something Star Wars at some point in the future, but that day is not today.
Yeah, and what could be good, too, if John Williams does at least episode 7, he could
set the major themes for the rest of the trilogy.
And then, kind
what
of like...
Harry Potter.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Exactly what he did for Harry Potter. So, that was really great news. And they had a Rebels panel. Dave Filoni was at that, and I think some of the other creators were at that, too. And obviously they couldn't reveal a lot, because they're still a year or so away. But we got some nice tidbits. They revealed the logo, some concept artwork, and including some pictures of the ship called Ghost, which is kind of going to be a pseudo main character, which makes me happy because it kind of seems like it'll be centered around like a crew of a ship, and that kind of makes me think of Firefly, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, it seems more space pulpy, adventure-y.
Yeah,
based on that bit of artwork and what they were discussing about it.
Yeah, so I'm excited for the show, and I know people have said that they're not exactly sure when it's supposed to take place. And Dave Filoni kind of contradicted himself because at one point he said a little before A New Hope, and then at one point he said he couldn't really specify when it takes place, so who knows is the answer.
Was that another panel you were at, Mark?
Yeah, annoyingly, yes. well, I forgot to say, actually, because the previous panel, the Kathy Kennedy panel, I was actually sat directly behind Filoni, which was cool because I hadn't met him. I've met him since, but I hadn't met him at that particular moment. So that was cool. His hat blocked my view.
I was just about to ask if that happened.
The hat was there. But the Rebels panel, I mean, both of those, well, the Rebels panel directly followed the Kathy Kennedy panel within an hour or so in the same room. Both absolutely crammed to the rafters with people. There was some very cool stuff going on in that panel. And like you say, yeah, he did contradict himself a little bit, like Kathy Kennedy did, which we'll talk about later. But yeah, the Ghost, it's a cool looking ship. And I've been wearing my Rebels t-shirt all week.
Nice. So,
yes. Very cool.
And finally, the last bit of big news out of Celebration Europe was that they announced the next U.S. celebration, of course, as everyone was expecting. And, one of the two cities people were predicting got chosen, but not the one that Brian and I wanted. Wah, wah.
Yes, Celebration will be heading to Anaheim in April 2015.
Yeah. So we don't know if we're going to go yet. We hope we can, but extenuating circumstances might prevent us from going. But
if we do, we may be needing to crash in someone's hotel room.
Just throwing that out there.
Hey, you can room with the Tashi Station hosts. We promise we won't podcast everything that happens.
We also won't bring
your hammocks.
Yeah.
Bring your hammocks. String them up.
We also won't bring the dog, so.
No, Mar the dog, I'm looking at her now, will stay here.
So, Mark, you're going to be going, I assume? Or yes. Trying to go, yeah.
Yes, definitely, yeah. We're always talking about it. When we did Celebration 6, we started talking about Europe literally on the afternoon of it being announced. And we were talking about Anaheim as soon as it was talked about. So, yeah. I think the thing is, it's 2 years away. And, I mean, again, I'm sure we'll talk about it later. But, you know, they've already sold 3 out of the 7 hotels are booked out. The VIP tickets went in like 90 seconds. But it's 2 years away. But, obviously, we did the caravan on this trip to Europe, and we're hoping to do the caravan again over in the States. So our journey to Anaheim will be a little different than everybody else's, really. But it's just deciding where we're going to stay. So, but yeah, we'll definitely be there. Yeah,
we might bring hammocks. See, you should have wanted it in Orlando too, because then you could have stayed here in a guest room.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Like you say, I think. Everybody made the assumption that it was probably going to be Orlando because, you know, the last two being there and Disney and such, but and the weather being so nice. But I think it makes sense, you know, the two Disneys on either side of the country to skip between the two. So
it definitely makes sense, and especially being in California, it's a lot easier for people working on the movie.
Yeah, the Lucasfilm folk to get out there.
And I do like that it's right before Episode 7 will come out because that's what they did for the old celebrations, and that was so much fun, just building up to that, to the movies coming out and all that energy.
I think we'll be getting the trailer. I think we'll probably hopefully get the final trailer. Not the original, not the teaser trailer, but I think I'll get like a second trailer or something.
Or what they did, I know at Celebration 3, they had like a super real thing that they just played over and over and over. And that was, I remember that being a huge draw. It was just like a bunch of clips put together, but it was like 10 minutes long. But yeah, I we probably shouldn't complain because you're going to go all the way from Europe. But and I can't complain too much because the past two celebrations have been right in my backyard. It's just we don't know if we'll be able to go. So it's kind of frustrating because I want to plan and start saving money, but hopefully we'll be able to go. We'll see.
Fingers crossed.
And listeners, if you are planning to go to Celebration in Anaheim, you're going to want to start saving now because it's going to cost you a bit more than it did in Orlando.
Oh, yeah. California costs a lot more than Florida.
Yeah, Southern California, what's really going to get you are the hotel rates, where you could get a hotel here in Orlando for about $75 a night. You're going to be looking anywhere from $130 to $175 in Southern California.
And if you're driving... Gas.
Yes. So do think about that now. Make sure you have that budgeted for, because it's going to cost you a little more, but I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun and very, very much worth it.
And tickets are on sale now. There'll be, I think there's $140 for the 4-day ticket, which is pretty much the same as they used to be. So
yeah, and don't expect them to sell out. The Anaheim Convention Center is host to an anime convention that regularly... holds about 50,000 people.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the actual tickets selling out. Yeah, I'm worried about the hotels.
The hotels, though, as I learned today, if you book today, you will not be charged for the deposit until 30 days before the event. Yeah,
so we might actually just go ahead and book a room now.
Yeah.
Do it.
Just in
do
case.
It. We'll all podcast together. Just do it.
I love that. I'll go rent a big mixer board and we'll get us all in on this.
God. You won't let us podcast at Dragon Con?
I'm bringing the mixer to Dragon Con. Okay. I'm bringing all of this to Dragon Con.
Oh, great.
Is that Fixer's mixer?
Oh, nice. Fixer's
mixer. I love it. I'm going to put a little sign here on the cubby that says that. Perfect. Perfect. Moving on to the Episode 7 corner, the obligatory Episode 7 rumors. Remember, none of this is sourced. None of this is verified. None of this is confirmed. Proceed with caution. Will Episode 7 be filming in August? That was a rumor at one point in the last couple weeks, and the answer is...
Nope.
No. Episode 7 will not be filming in August. It's still slated for 2014.
Oh my god, when they start putting pictures out, I'm gonna lose my... you know what.
I mean, I don't know about you, Mark, but I don't know if it's fully sunk in that we're getting Episode 7. The thing that was never, ever, 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 ever going to happen.
Oh. I mean, you know, last October 30th, when they announced that Disney were buying Lucasfilm, that was cataclysmic enough as it was, and everybody went bananas. But then to sort of slip in there, oh, and by the way, we're making 7, 8, and 9, was, wow. I mean, I don't know who decided to make that decision. I mean, I, from what I understand, they were very close to announcing things at Celebration 6, but things never quite dropped, so they couldn't do what they wanted to do. But nevertheless... those two things to come together. Yeah, 7, 8, and 9 was mythic. It was, you know, Jason and the Argonauts. It was never going to happen, but but here we are. And like you say, you know, it's whenever it starts filming, it's only, you know, a few months away. And we've got new Star Wars films coming. And you know, it's a different world to the world it was sort of back in 97 when the internet was really still finding its feet. You know, we're all here to talk about it.
Yeah.
And here we are on Skype talking about it. And, you know, it's going to be amazing the next few years. Can't wait.
Do you remember that documentary that was on the Phantom Menace DVD, The Beginning?
Yeah.
I really hope they do something like that for Episode 7. That was a fantastic documentary. I don't care what anyone says about Phantom Menace as a movie. That documentary was one of the best making of things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I still think my favorite part in that whole thing is when Spielberg's looking at that the battle droid and he just touches the arm and the arm falls off. Just love that. Yes. Love that to bits.
And when
go on, sorry.
I was going to say, when Hugh McGregor's like, they want to do Star Wars, I said, fuck yeah, I said.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much what I'd say.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my. You know, I think we're all still in a little state of denial. Every one of us personally, a little bit of denial that all of this is happening.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it took so long. Well, not so long, but like... You know, they announced it back in October, at the end of October, and, you know, they're not filming it until next year. So I think people are kind of like, you know, people who aren't like us are probably losing interest and like, oh, are they still doing that? But once they start actually filming, then it's going to be like, whoa.
Yeah, when that first production photo gets out onto the interwebs.
Uh-huh.
It all becomes real.
Yeah.
And I know I'm going to lose my mind when the last little bit of denial vanishes.
Yeah, I probably won't have it fully sunk in until I actually go into the movie theater and sit down.
Can you imagine though when they launched that, you know, back in November 98 when they put that first Phantom Menace sort of the first trailer
on? Oh yes.
You know, and the first thing you saw was the Gungans on the, you know, the, I can't remember what the creatures were, the Fambas, was it?
I think it was coming
out of the reeds and the mist.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, walking through the mist, and it's like, wow, that's the first new Star Wars stuff we've seen since the end of Jedi.
Yeah.
And it was just so intense and everybody went bananas. Can you imagine what the next one's going to be? Because every hope is that, you know, Han and Luke and Leia will be in it, and we'll see familiar people. And, you know, oh, God, the place is just going to go nuts.
Well,
I can't wait.
Do you remember the trailer for Revenge of the Sith, the first trailer, when they had old Ben doing the story? They could do something like that with, you know, showing Luke and Leia and Han like at when they're younger and then showing them older. I would cry buckets if they did that. I really hope they do something like that in like the trailer.
Well, whatever film gets that trailer attached to it, that episode 7
God.
Trailer, the first one. Oh wow. I mean, if it's you know, when Disney release it, you know, I bet they'll probably re-release Lone Ranger with the episode 7 trailer just to make some money. Because it's probably going to work better than what's happened with the film on its own.
And the strategy to break even on the Lone Ranger, you heard it here on Tosche Station Radio first.
Well, I remember because the Phantom Menace trailer was attached to Meet Joe Black. And I remember all these, like, big, huge, tough guys walking in to go see Meet Joe Black.
So what movie could they possibly attach this to
make
it even worse?
Now it doesn't matter. Because they released the trailers on the internet. Back then, they didn't have that. And even if they didn't release it on the internet, it took like 5 hours to download it.
6K dial-up, one frame at a time.
Right? Yeah. I remember taping it off Entertainment Tonight. Because that's when they would show the trailers. And I remember taping it. And then I brought it into school the next day. And my drama teacher would play it at the beginning of every class. Because he was all into it too. And I saw Enemy of the State with Will Smith was when I went to see the trailer. And then it was attached to the Matrix. The second one was attached to the Matrix, which ended up being a good thing.
I think I saw it attached to The Siege, you know, the Denzel Washington Bruce Willis film.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually stayed for the film, which was amazing. I bought all the popcorn, bought all the drinks. I thought this is going to be gone before the trailer's finished, but I actually stayed and watched the film. So,
so yeah, episode 7 still happening,
and we're still in denial.
Yeah, but this weekend, moving on, Disney is holding their annual D23 Expo, and
the big convention for Disney Parks fans.
And Lucasfilm will be a part of the live action film panel. They haven't said what exactly they're going to be talking about, so we don't know if they're just going to be reiterating the things we already know, like, oh, they're having a standalone films, and they're having the episodes flanking them. Or if they're actually going to tell us new stuff that we don't know, like, hey, these three people that you might know are going to be in the movie. That would be nice.
Yeah, so no telling if this D23 event, which starts tomorrow, I think, Friday or Saturday.
I don't know.
No telling if Lucasfilm will be there for announcement purposes or if it's just
promotional purposes.
Yeah. So stay tuned.
Yeah. Priya will be blogging about it either way because we'll be gone this weekend. So they'll probably announce something huge since we're going to be gone this weekend.
Exactly. And then our other staff bloggers will kill us for once again being out of town and making them handle the news.
Yep.
IGN's Eric Goldman recently spoke to ABC President Paul Lee and asked him about the possibility of a Star Wars television series. A quote from the article: at the TCA press tour today, I asked Disney President Paul Lee, or not Disney, ABC President Paul Lee, about the possibility of Star Wars on ABC. While Lee wouldn't give any specifics, he did say, quote, "I certainly have a glint in my eye. They have a lot on their plate, sir. They have a lot on their plate when you look at the features that they're planning on rolling out for the next few years. But we've started conversations with, presumably, Lucasfilm."
And I say, yay, obviously.
Now, can you imagine a Sunday night, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., followed by Star Wars, the live-action series?
Followed by Star Wars Rogue Squadron?
Fandom Sunday, only on ABC.
I would die if they came out with a Rogue Squadron TV show. I want one so bad. You have no idea how much I want a Rogue Squadron on my television. And if they say they can't do it if it's too expensive, foo on that. They did Battlestar Galactica. Imagine a show like Battlestar Galactica, but happy.
I'm sorry. I have a hard time fathoming that.
It's called Race Squadron.
Right. Another bit of Star Wars news that hit yesterday. Both Star Wars trilogies are to be re-released as Blu-ray and DVD combo packs.
I don't really understand the point of this.
Well, for those of us who have misplaced their copies of the regular DVDs... I'm pointing at myself.
No, I haven't misplaced them. I have them all.
Oh, you have them.
Yes.
Okay, otherwise...
I certainly need to buy them again because the DVDs I bought before are removed from the packaging, so they're no longer in mint condition. So I do need some new ones, but I will never take them out.
Because, you can put them in your new geek room.
Yes. So
yes. In a glass case.
For those of you that need the DVDs because you misplaced them or never had them because your Blu-ray players just don't work in every... or your Blu-ray disc don't work in every device ever, good news!
You can buy them
again. I don't know why the DVDs weren't included in the Blu-ray pack they released a couple of years ago.
Because George Lucas is a money-grubbing person who's no longer in charge, so we can't say that about him anymore.
Exactly.
My world is turning upside down! People will blame him anyway.
So this might be the first release of these movies I haven't purchased.
I didn't buy the ones they released. I think it was like 2006 or something when they put the original versions on the DVD. I didn't buy those because I bought
those ones. I thought they were quite cool and the packaging was nice as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a thought though. You say that about George not being around anymore. I suppose if you think about it, this is the first release of those original Star Wars movies where George technically won't make any money from them. I feel like I paid for some of the trees that line Lake Ewok, and now what am I paying for?
New attractions at Disney.
Yeah.
We're
paying for episode 7.
There we go.
Feeding the mouse.
There we go. People have already asked, though, well, does this mean Disney's going to be bringing the original theatrical cut out of the, quote, Disney vault?
We don't know, and when we do know, we will know.
Yes, we will, and I will say, if you want me to buy the original trilogy for the 7th time...
Put them...
There you go.
I want it to be...
I'll buy it.
Yeah, I want it to be where you can make your own cut. Where I can have Han shoot first, but I can have the new Jabba scene, but with the better effects. And then I want the Emperor scene with Ian McDiarmid, but I don't want the bring my shuttle part. I do want the bring my shuttle. I don't want the new stupid thing they did. So I want to be able to cut and splice all the things that I want. And when Luke says in Empire Strikes Back to R2, he says, "You were lucky to get out of there." I remember a cut of the movie that I had when he said, "You were lucky you don't taste so good."
Yes, I remember that.
Okay, yeah. I'm not just going crazy.
I remember that. Well, what would you call it? Because, I mean, somebody did an edit of The Phantom Menace and called it The Phantom Cut or whatever. I suppose Attack of the Clones would be The Clone Cut and Revenge of the Sith would be The Sith Snip. So what would you call all the others?
Star Wars, Choose Your Own Adventure.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Like, just, okay, offer you all the things, mash them all together and do your own... Because, like... I generally am a fan of the special editions. Like, I think most of the things that they did were better. The major things that they changed, though, the most notable things that they changed are the things that are the most distracting. Like, for example, the alert my Star Destroyer to prepare for my... That's so stupid! They changed the...
When he said, bring my shuttle... You could hear how pissed off he was.
Yes.
You could hear it in his voice. It's like, bring my shuttle. Somebody's going to get a kick in the backside if I don't get my shuttle really quickly. And Luke jumping down the shaft and screaming.
Yeah.
That changed Luke as much as Han shooting, not shooting first changed Han. Because, you know, Luke jumped out of defiance.
Mm-hmm.
But in the special edition, he jumps out of fear because he screams as he's falling down. So all those little tweaks that were kind of done for the sake of it didn't really work. So
thankfully, they changed that, though. They changed it back, thankfully, and but I think it's because, you know, people talk about Han shooting first and the whole Jedi Rocks thing. I can overlook that. The bring my shuttle one is the one that makes me mad because it totally alters the entire pacing of that scene, which is perfect because, like, that hyperspace music, it's like it builds and builds and builds, and then it's like a record scratching when they Jane do that. I didn't realize I was that passionate about this scene.
And I know tomes have already been written on the subject, but I still have problems with the big no they added to the end of Jedi.
I've only watched the Blu-rays once, and I remember when I got to that, I was like, that was kind of anticlimactic, just because everyone had complained about it so much that I was like, oh, okay. But yeah.
Yeah, at this point, I think we have enough different versions that we should be able to go to a website and specify, I want my custom Star Wars to contain this.
Come on, Disney. You'll make a lot of money.
A t-shirt waiting to happen. I want my custom Star Wars. That's a t-shirt waiting to happen.
Exactly. I mean, I will pay a premium for that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on us, Disney. That's a free one on us. And finally... There's a new doctor in town.
New doctor.
New doctor. Peter Capaldi will be the next doctor.
We put this in for you, Mark.
Thank you.
I was like, oh yeah, we didn't mention the doctor, and we probably should, because that's big news. Yeah, I have to tell you though, Mark. I need someone to explain me why I should watch Doctor Who, because they played at Geek Trivia every Tuesday. They have this little room in the back of the comic shop called the Geek Easy. And they have like TVs on the wall and they have a little bar. And Tuesdays they show Doctor Who all day. So they have it on during trivia, but it's, you know, it's muted and you can just read the captions. And the two times I've been there, I've been just staring at Doctor Who going, what the hell is going on the show? It is a weird show, man.
It is. Which doctor are you watching?
The one that they had on was Tennant.
Tennant, yes.
Yeah. But, like, there was one that I think it was with the Daleks when they came and they moved Earth, and I was, like, really confused. And then they had John Barrowman on, which was good, but I was just trying to figure out what was going on. And then the one last night, they had this weird alien-looking dude who absorbed people.
I can probably describe 6 or 7 different monsters of the week, actually.
But yeah, I know people always tell me I need to watch Doctor Who, but maybe it's just because I don't have the sound on or just because I don't know the history, but that's a weird show.
It is a weird show. I mean, I've been watching it since the 70s when I was a kid, so on and off. I was never a mad, mad Doctor Who fan, but I've always kind of watched a bit here and a bit there. And since it came back in 2005... You know, it's got bigger and bigger and bigger, and now, especially in the States, you know, people seem to have really latched onto it over there. So, which is cool because it's nice to have a show export and go big. You know, we haven't had that many, certainly not sci-fi shows that have done that. But the great thing about Doctor Who is that it's the 50th anniversary this year, so you can literally go back to you know, the same year that Kennedy was shot and the Beatles launched, and, you know, and there's Doctor Who doing then what he's still kind of doing now. So, you know, it's a bit of an amazing 50-year journey. But, I think he's great, and I think Capaldi's going to be brilliant because, I mean, he's been around for donkey's years, and he's been in Doctor Who. He was in a Tennant episode about 5 years ago. He was in Torchwood, Children of Earth as well. So, you know, he knows Doctor Who, and he's a big fan himself. So I think he'll be brilliant.
What is your opinion about, in the future, having a female Doctor?
It'll happen. I'm a massive Star Trek fan, and I think back 20 years to when Kate Mulgrew became the first female captain, you know, and it was kind of a similar thing, and the year, sort of 2 years before, Avery Brooks was the first black captain, you know, and once you get past the fact that you've got a black guy as a captain, you've got a woman as a captain, they were both awesome captains, and it didn't matter that they were female or that they were black or that Patrick Stewart was bald or that William Shatner was wearing a wig or whatever, you know, people, the characters were just great characters played by great actors, and that's all that really matters. So I think with the Doctor, you could have had some pretty good money on there being a female Doctor. I don't know who it would have been. I know Helen Mirren was kind of saying, jokingly, that she'd love to be the new Doctor. But I think it'll happen. I think, you know, I mean, I do know that one of the people they seriously considered a black British actor, male, and he turned it down. So I don't know who that was. I can imagine it would be Chiwetel Ejiofor or Idris Elba or somebody like that. I mean, he's doing stuff over here all the time anyway, Idris Elba. So
now that is a Doctor I would watch.
Yes. But I think they've got the right guy. I think Capaldi's really going to nail it because, like I say, it kind of goes back to being an older Doctor. We haven't had an older Doctor in the new era. They've all been sort of 30-something or 20-something in Matt Smith's case. So I think an older Doctor gives a different dimension with the companion he travels with how he deals with things. Because it's all the same character. It's essentially the same character. It's just another facet of that same character. So, and that's what's been so clever. If you look back through the previous 11 Doctors, you've kind of had the Fool and the serious one and the thoughtful one. And, you know, it's all been in there. But I think it'll happen. I don't think it'll be too long before you have a female Doctor. There's no reason why you couldn't. They've always said that the Doctor can regenerate into anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be fascinating to see.
Yeah, I think the only holdup now would really be the gentleman running the show.
yes.
Once someone else is at the helm, I would not be surprised at all if that happens.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree.
So that's the news for the week, and with that, it's time for Mark to make us exceedingly jealous. This week on Cammy's Concerns, he is here to tell us all about and regale us with stories from Celebration Europe. We don't even have bullet points or questions. We just want Mark to talk about Celebration Europe.
Go day by day. Tell us all about... Well, also tell us about the Caravan of the Force, which was awesome, by
the
way.
Yeah, let's start with that. Caravan of the Force.
Okie dokie. Right. Okay. Where do I start? Okay. I'm going to do a proper history lesson here. Back in August of last year, Celebration 6, C6 finishes. They announce at the end, with the umpire ban coming out, that there's going to be a Celebration Europe this year. So we all go back to our room, the apartment, the Vista K we were staying in Florida. And we're all sitting in the foyer waiting for the taxi to turn up. And we're thinking, well, obviously being in Europe again, we're all going to be there. All the UK guys are going to be there. And we've got Dan Curto with us. He was, you know, throwing out ideas as well. And we basically just sort of formulated an idea of getting to Celebration instead of just flying in or getting the ferry and driving in. Driving, but doing something a little bit different, literally like a road trip. So, and pretty quickly we thought, well, we can do something for charity with this. And then he starts spitballing ideas, and all of a sudden, this whole concept of the caravan started to build up quite quickly. So we put the idea to Lucasfilm very early on, and they thought it was a good idea, and they could see, you know, there being something in it. So we started speaking to sponsors and started getting ideas together and working out a route. And before you know it, you know, the time since the end of C6 and a week before the BIS convention has gone like in a flash. We wanted to announce it a lot earlier than we did, but we couldn't because we hadn't actually got our vehicle sponsor on board, and it turned out to be Hyundai. But it was a really quite a hard time getting a vehicle sponsor, which surprised us because we thought we would find one quite easily. But with the, you know, with the economy being what it is, you know, everybody's watching their budgets, and you know, we just had to keep plugging away. And credit to James for doing that, because he worked his backside off doing, getting this all ready. But long story short, we were ready and set to do the caravan. Back in, wow, when was it now? It was probably the tail end of last year. James went to a friend's wedding, one of the 501st members, a guy called Diz, Ian Thompson, and Jeremy Bullock was there. And James and Jeremy have known each other for years, and the caravan idea was building and building. And James said to Jeremy, would you join us on the caravan? You and Maury, would you join us on the caravan? Because we'd like to take somebody there as part of the tour and part of the trip, and we can, you know, travel through Europe and have some fun, and it would be quite a thing. And straight away he said yes. I don't think they quite knew what they were saying yes to, but they said yes. So we'd got our star guest, essentially. And so right up until before we leave, everything's set, everything's agreed. We've announced it, got the word out there, and launched the Just Giving page and explained that we're doing it for Make-A-Wish. Picked up the vehicles, and on Friday the 19th of July, last month, set off in the morning from the XL, which is where Celebration Europe, the original one, was sort of 6 years ago. Did the XL, did some photos there with the 501st, travelled to Elstree. This was very cool. Travelled to Elstree Studios. James lives about 2 miles away from Elstree. Of course, a lot of the original Star Wars was filmed at Elstree, so we were allowed access to go into some of the stages where they were shot, and we actually went into stage 7 where they filmed the Falcon. The Falcon in on the Death Star and in Docking Bay 94. And just to be in that room, just knowing what was in there, you know, 30 plus years ago, was just really cool. And we managed to film some footage with Jeremy, just talking about his experiences doing Empire there and bits of Jedi. And yeah, it was just magical. You could kind of feel it in the walls, if that makes any sense. Yeah, very, very cool time to be there.
Cool. So you drove to Celebration Europe. So where else did you stop? I know. I saw some other places that you stopped at, like a toy store. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that was the next thing. We did Elstree, and did a bit of footage there, and took some very cool pictures. And of course, Matt, one of the guys with us. We had two guys with us: Matt Booker and Dave Tree, who UK fans will be very familiar with, and they were straight on Instagram, straight on Twitter. So we were kind of live tweeting, live pictures as we were going around. On the evening, we went to Brent Cross, which is where the big Toys R Us is in that part of the world. And the Black Series, which you might have heard about, had come out in Europe. So we did a special thing, Jedi News did a special thing with Toys R Us and Hasbro, and launched the Black Series in the UK. And the most awesome thing, apart from the fact that we had a really good crowd of people, there was people queuing all night whilst we were there signing, was that Jeremy has a Boba Fett replica outfit that the Dented Helmet gave him a few years back, but he's only ever worn it once out in public, which was a couple of years ago in Leicester at the Space Center. He wore the Boba Fett outfit on this night, and of course he walked in, and I think people just thought he was with the Garrison or with the Legion, but no, he walked in, everybody started clapping because it's such a cool outfit, and then when he took his helmet off, the place went bananas, because, you know, it was Jeremy wearing the Boba Fett outfit. And then, bless him, he sat down and signed autographs and pictures with kids for the next 2.5 hours. So that was a really great way to sort of kick off the first day, or end the first day of the caravan. We spent the next day in the UK just having a quiet day, getting ourselves together, because the Friday had been so hectic. But then, as you say, we left the UK on the Sunday to travel from Dover to Calais on the ferry, drove down to Lille, and met with the French garrison. But our plan was to meet up with garrisons in the different countries that we travelled to. So the first stop was the French garrison. So we met those guys in Lille, did some again, some cool pictures, swap stories, spent time with those guys. Next day into Belgium, met with the Belgian garrison at the Atomium, which is a famous landmark in Brussels. But before that, actually, I'm missing something out. One of the coolest things we did, we went to the Caves of Han, which was something that Lucasfilm suggested to us, obviously because Han Solo, and we've got Boba Fett with us, so Han and Boba Fett, that made sense. This cave, it's the second biggest, the big room in this cave. It's about 1.5 miles through a mountain, and there's a room, like they referred to them as rooms. This cave was the second biggest cave in Europe. You couldn't see the back wall. It was just absolutely amazing. And we were just, the six of us were just walking around with our mouths wide open, catching flies, because we were just so stunned at what we were seeing. This place was, it was like Geonosis. Parts of it were literally like Geonosis. And I can only imagine that, you know, some of the ILMers of that time must have either been familiar with this place or seen it, because there were so many things you just looked and went, that's out the movie. It was fascinating. But the guy that took us around, Albert, who was the manager there, is a massive Star Wars fan. So he was so, so giving of his time and so generous and gracious, and put a meal on for us when we got there. The local press were there. The coolest thing was we walked through this cave system, and we probably got 2/3 of the way through. And we knew, you kind of know when you're going through a little walkway, you kind of know when it's going to open up into a big room, which it did. And literally as we walked in, it was really dark. And then all of a sudden the lights came on, the Star Wars music came on. And it was a room where they have an orchestra come down and play throughout the year. Certain times they'll have an orchestra come in, and they just blasted out the Star Wars music for us. So it was just absolutely awesome. Really, wow. Really cool. Yeah. So very lucky. I mean, we were spoiled all the way through.
Okay, so your Caravan of the Force all the way to Celebration Europe, and then you're there. Let's step through Celebration Europe. Tell us what at least day one was like.
Day one. Well, we got there on the Wednesday. After we'd left Belgium, we went into Holland, went to Amsterdam, and then we went into Germany itself. So we'd had quite a tour. We'd been out sort of traveling for 5 days. Got to Germany. We decided, we got two vehicles. We took two of these vans with us, which we called Slave 1 and Slave 2. we travelled in Slave 1 with Maureen and Jeremy. Dave and Matt were with all the gear in Slave 2, and then we would swap drivers. We decided to put Slave 2 on the stand. So we actually had a nice size stand, and we managed to get the van, one of the vans, onto the stand. So the first day was actually getting everything set up. But the first day proper of the convention, which was the Friday, it would be the Friday, wouldn't it? Yeah, the Friday 26th. The day just flew by. It was so busy. I think we'd heard rumours that until quite recently, before the event, they'd only sold about 4,000 tickets. But we also learned that in Germany, it's quite traditional for people not to book tickets way out in advance, which with the tickets selling so quickly for Anaheim probably sounds completely crazy. But traditionally in Germany, people turn up on the door on the day. And they certainly did, because, you know, they had a very good turnout for the size of the convention hall as well. So it was just, footfall was crazy. So we were just working it, you know, because we were there to raise money for charity as well. I'm trying to think what talks we went to on the Monday, actually, because it all kind of blurred into one. What did we do on the Monday? On the Friday? Oh, I can't think. It was just... That's terrible, isn't it? I can't actually remember what we did. Oh, wow. What did we do? Oh, I don't know. Loads
you
of
did
stuff.
Fun,
I mean,
there fun was so stuff.
Many there. Oh, it was all fun. I mean, there were so many people there that we do. Because in Celebration Europe, the first one, we had a lot of people from the continent come over to London, because it's a hub. You know, people, it's easy to get to London.
Yeah.
Obviously not as easy to get to Essen. Not that it was difficult, it was like half an hour's taxi drive from Dusseldorf Airport, and that's a major international airport, so it wasn't that difficult to get to. But we've got people that we haven't seen for 5 or 6 years coming up to the stand and, you know, saying hi. So it was that all the time. I think on the Friday, me and James both got inducted into the Rebel Legion, which was really cool, because I've never been inducted into anything. Cool. I've been dunked into a few things, but never inducted. But that was quite an honour, really. I wasn't expecting that at all. So that was wonderful. I wish I'd put a list now of all the itinerary of what was happening on the day, because I can't honestly remember what was on the Friday. But I do know over the course of the weekend, as we said earlier, I went to the Kathy Kennedy panel, which was really was amazing. We were very lucky. We got James is good friends with Steve Sansweet, the podcast that James does. Every month has Steve on it, so we kind of got chatting to Steve, and he just led us through this little cordon, and we followed, and nobody asked anything of us, so we just kept walking, and ended up in the VIP area, which we didn't expect to be sitting in the VIP area, and sat down, and as I said earlier, there's Dave Filoni on the row in front, and a few other people around, and then Kathy Kennedy comes on after Warwick's introduced, and the place went crazy. And it was a retrospective of her career, what she'd done up to that point. And I think because she's now in charge of Star Wars, certainly for the next, you know, few years, she's kind of one of us now, isn't she? You know, and she's very much for the fans. She's very keen to say that, you know, this is a fan-led enterprise. If fans hadn't wanted Star Wars, it would have been one of those things we'd go, do you remember that film way back when, Star Wars? Do you remember that? It was really good, wasn't it? You know, it's the fans that wanted more, and so we're leading, you know, we're drawing Star Wars on because there's a want for it and a need for it. But she really knows the stuff, and I mean Star Wars stuff. I mean, obviously she's pretty much the best producer there's ever been, and look at the hits that she's had. But that was so cool for her to be in that room and just to talk so openly with Warwick. It was fantastic.
Now, I have to imagine that Kathleen Kennedy is a slightly different interview than old Uncle George was.
I tell you what, you know, Warwick could interview... He could interview Han in Carbonite and get answers from him. You know, he's... He's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. And the cool, another cool thing is actually because Warwick was the guest editor of The Insider, the latest issue, and I've interviewed Warwick a few times, and I've got quite a few bits in this issue as well, so which was very nice. But he just, and actually there's a Red 5 and a My Star Wars in there that I did with him, he was so. It probably sounds patronising to say because he's the same age as me, but it's only the last kind of couple of years I've realised just how funny that guy is.
Yeah. You know,
the stuff he comes out with. I mean, he was ribbing Anthony Daniels something rotten. In fact, everybody was ribbing Anthony Daniels something rotten. He kind of leaves himself open to it, but he is a good sport as well, to be fair. But really going at it.
Warwick Davis was at... was at Star Wars Weekends this year.
Yes.
And that was the first time I really got to see him a lot, like, do a show. He's hilarious. He did his one-man show, like, my short story thing. That was, it was flipping hilarious. I'm like, this guy is, you know, you wouldn't think someone who is well-known for playing an Ewok in Return of the Jedi is that funny, and he's a great host.
Was he at C6?
Yes, he was.
I think so, but we missed him.
We missed him. Now I regret not staking that panel.
I know he was opposite something else. I know, and we were trying to figure out what to do. But he comes to celebrate. He comes to Star Wars Weekends a lot, so hopefully he'll be back next year.
The thing is, I think with Warwick as well is that when he was a kid, before he even did Jedi, he was a Star Wars fan. And he's never not been a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
And he knows his stuff. And he's still a fan. Mm-hmm. So, and I say about the Insider, you know, he was thrilled to bits with how all the stuff that he'd done for the magazine came out. Because obviously, you know, he does his stuff. It gets handed over to the graphics designers and the editors and stuff. And they physically put the magazine together. But he was thrilled to bits with how the magazine came out. So you think, well... If he wasn't that bothered, he wouldn't say anything. But he was, you know, really, really pleased at what they did with it. So, he's very funny. I can see why Ricky Gervais wants to work with him and has wanted to work with him because they're a match. Yeah. They're an equal match for each other, definitely.
Did you see any of the videos that they posted on StarWars.com? Like the little...
I've seen bits of them, yeah. I've not had a chance really because we got back on the... I'll get to that in a bit, but we got back on the Monday and I've been work since I got back. So I haven't had a chance to sit down and really kind of go back through all what happened at Celebration, really. It was just in the moment, which is probably the best way to experience it anyway. Mm-hmm. But yes, I have seen some of the videos and I know that I was speaking to David Collins, who was one of the hosts on the stages over there, and he was saying that he was so impressed with the editing team, the video editing team that they got over there in Essen. Because they were turning these videos around in no time at all and getting them out there. So I know they work their backsides off.
Cool. So, yeah, tell us more about the con. The big day, I think the big day was
ask
probably...
Me a question. Ask me, sorry, go on.
I was going to say that I think the big day was Saturday, so I know that's when they had all the big panels. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Rebels. I would say after the Kathy Kennedy panel, Rebels was the one. I mean, that thing is everybody loves Filoni, You know, he's been there 8 years. He was kind of groomed by George to have a significant role at Lucasfilm, or, you know, that's certainly the impression that I have been given, you know, that he's there for the long haul. And so, and now George is not there anymore. And will we ever see George at a celebration? I don't know. Maybe C6 was the last time. Hopefully not. But now it kind of elevates Filoni even more to a certain degree in a lot of fans' eyes. So he came on with Warwick again and did his talk about Rebels. And it's so clear, I think, so clear that, well, as you mentioned earlier, you know, he was a bit coy about when's it set and what, you know, the specifics. But the one thing that he did say, which was very telling, and he kind of answered it by not answering it, if that makes sense, which I always think is the best way to deal with any question, is one of the guys in the audience, I think he might have tweeted it, and actually they did the Ask Dave or the Ask Kathy, certain tweets would come in. And it was basically, will we see or will there be any resolution to the character arcs of Clone Wars characters in Rebels? Because depending on when they set Rebels, well, the farthest away it can be is 13, 14 years after Sith. The farthest, because if they're going to do a show, they're going to want it to run 4 or 5 years. So presumably they would set it at the most 4 or 5 years out from Star Wars. And Dave says, well, obviously I can't tell you anything about the plot or the story, but I worked on the Clone Wars for sort of 8 years. You guys saw 5 years on the television. Those characters mean an awful lot to me. They're part of me, you know, and that's all I'll say. So basically, by not saying anything, you kind of said, yes, I think you are going to see some resolution or even continuation, you know. You know, we all assume that the next time we see Ahsoka, she's going to be fighting Darth Vader and she's going to die. You don't know that. We don't know that. So that was very cool. It was telling what he said by not saying anything. Mm-hmm. I thought that was nice. But the new ship, the Ghost, really... I've seen the images of it yet.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a cool-looking ship. It's a really cool-looking ship. So I think, as you said earlier... I get the impression that, yeah, I think it's going to be a ship-based series. And if it's anything like Firefly, I had my Don't Take the Sky Away From Me T-shirt on the other day. So, you know, anything that's got a touch of that is fine by me. So, on the Saturday, we had the Insider panel, which I managed to... I don't know why they invited me on that, but they did. So that went really well. That was nice, talking about the magazine and getting a few ideas from the crowd. The vibe of the whole event was just really up. Not that it wouldn't be, but you never know quite what to expect when you move locations. I guess Anaheim's going to have a different vibe to Orlando. You know, these big events always kind of take on their own feeling and vibe anyway, don't they? So this had a really nice open feel about it, and very a lot of costumers there and a lot of craft on display, you know, which is always good to see. So it was a very impressive weekend.
So you attended the major panels. That certainly sounded neat. Any highlights from the dealer floor?
Tell us about the exhibit hall.
The exhibit
hall. I saw they had the AT-AT, but it was in the exhibit hall, which was kind of weird looking, but at the same time really cool.
It was. That you can blame or thank, whichever you want, the Belgians for that, because those guys bring the most insane
They're amazing.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and because it was in Germany, the German guys had some... In fact, one of the most impressive, if not the most impressive set, was they'd recreated, it wasn't quite one-to-one scale, but they'd recreated Darth Vader's TIE Fighter, but they'd got a backdrop that went with it, but they had the music playing, so that you'd have your photographs taken on there, and that was awesome, absolutely awesome. The AT-AT that you just mentioned was right next to Rancho Obi-Wan, and I think, I'm sure somebody would correct me if I was wrong, but I've got a feeling it was the same AT-AT that was at Celebration Europe, the original one. But there was speeder bikes there, a bunker was there. They'd done the little alcove where Han and Greedo had their little who shot first moment. The Belgian garrison again brought Jabba's Palace, with all the a lot of the Cantina characters. So all around the floor, all around the dealers area, and because there was two big halls for the dealers, there was all these fantastic displays. And I know at C6, you know, that they were shipping their stuff out 6 to 8 weeks before. And so there was all these things all around. For the kids, absolutely amazing, because they can kind of hop in, sit, and, you know, sit on the by the Jajeric table of the Falcon and just have their picture taken. And, you know, and everywhere you look, there's cosplayers walking around. So it just had that awesome vibe. On the convention floor, on the dealer's floor, rather, I didn't know what to expect. I kind of expected that because we were in Germany, there would be an awful lot of foreign language stuff, mm-hmm. which would be interesting to look at. But as a collector and not speaking, well, I can barely speak English, but not certainly not speaking any other language, it wouldn't be of as much interest. There was certainly foreign language stuff, but there was a huge amount of inverted commas regular stuff as well. So there was no lack of things to look at, and certainly no lack of things to buy. I know my wallet took a whopping, but there was certainly plenty to do and certainly plenty to look at. The Club Penguin, that was the other thing. Yeah, I know nothing about this Club Penguin. I feel like I should, because I've got nephews that are about that age.
I feel like I should call home and get my 10-year-old sister on the line right now for this.
I thought, what is Club Penguin? I found out that Club Penguin was bought by Disney. It was some two guys in the basement come up with this idea, and Disney bought it. And now they're doing a Star Wars link, you know, Star Wars spin-off thing, like a bit like Phileas and Ferb are doing a Star Wars special, or... You know, so there's. I think in this Disney era as well, you're probably going to see a lot more of that kind of thing, because there's Star Wars versions of practically everything at the moment, isn't there? So I think that there's going to be more. I'm waiting for Mickey's Playhouse to do a Star Wars episode. It's going to happen, isn't it?
You know, I've heard fans complain about Star Wars, quote, selling out, even though this is a franchise that invented selling out, whenever they do a product tie like this. But I can't complain, given that my first exposure to Star Wars was a Muppet Babies crossover in the early 90s.
Yeah,
so it's all Star Wars.
Exactly. Yeah. Whatever gets kids into Star Wars, that's awesome. Yeah, I'll take it.
It's like those little Lego specials.
Oh yeah. Oh, they're amazing though, aren't they? They're just brilliant. Yeah.
So
I think any kid who's into Star Wars, you know, and there's so many. I think we might have talked about this when I was on the last time. You know, there's so many facets and so many entry points into Star Wars, and as the years go by. And, you know, there's probably a kid who watches Club Penguin who knows nothing about Star Wars, and he or she is going to see a Club Penguin Star Wars episode, and they're going to go, oh, I like the sound of that. I want to learn more about that. And so there's so many different ways to get into Star Wars. There's no one entrance. There's no one way in, which is great.
Yeah, and that's really one of the great things that I think Disney gives Lucasfilm and Star Wars is so much more reach to bring all sorts of new people into the fandom.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And that can only be a good thing. And like you say, it's a business at the end of the day. You know, if you can get kids in by, you know, buying Star Wars themed candy floss, then they'll do it. You know, whatever it may be. You know, that's the way in, because presumably at some point they're going to latch onto the Star Wars element of whatever has drawn them in, and on they go from there.
So, any other highlights from Celebration that you want to bring up, highlight, address, gush about? Go nuts. Grab bag time.
Okay. I would say the Rancho Obi-Wan exhibit was fantastic, as it always is, because Sansweet's just got such an amazing collection of stuff, and he never brings the same thing twice, so walking around this iteration of Rancho was completely different to the version that we all saw at Celebration 6. So that was fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Just catching up with guys and folks that we hadn't seen for a long time is good, just to shoot the breeze and see what's been happening, because we're all here talking or tweeting or putting stuff on our websites on a daily basis and interacting over cyberspace. But, you know, when you actually get to meet people face-to-face, that makes a big difference. The artist alley as well. The artist alley was, on first view, I thought, oh dear, where have they stuck those poor guys? Because it kind of looked like a dead end in the corner of the room. But it actually ended up being one of the key places of the whole event. so many good artists are in there, and I won't name anyone because I'll probably forget some of the guys, and that wouldn't be fair. But as ever, it was, you know, feast for the eyes, and it was just a vibrant place to be. Another big highlight, actually, on the Saturday night, they did an outdoor screening of Jedi.
Yeah.
And that was so cool. There was cool things and not so cool things. Actually, it wasn't on Saturday, it was on the Friday. There was cool things and not such cool things. The not such cool thing was that there was a park at the back of Mesa Essen, which sounds like something Jar Jar Binks would say, but maybe that's what I think about. But it was about a mile, easily a mile, into this park, which you know, it's a mile. You know, I shouldn't worry about walking a mile. But it was a windy road, and it was up a hill and down. It seemed to take forever. But then you got to the area where they were showing the film, and the big screen, very much like they did at the original Celebration Europe when they showed A New Hope, in like a little sort of a bowl area. And I don't know how many thousand people were there, but everybody was just sitting there watching Jedi. And that was really cool. That was really cool. And they'd got it nicely. It was almost like a village, like a festival. They'd got like food vans and ice cream vans and soft drink vans all around. So it was a really nice atmosphere. That was a bit special. I managed to get into the 501st party this year.
Oh, I've heard those are always fun.
Yeah, it really was. It was fascinating. And we were lucky, again, I don't know how. It's certainly not me doing this, but we ended up in the VIP area. I don't know why they think I'm a VIP, but I'm not going to say no. So I sat down and enjoyed the food. So that was fascinating. There were some cool people on our table as well. I think I was sitting opposite Tim Dry and Sean Crawford. And Daniel Logan was a couple of seats down. And, you know, so it was a nice table of people there. And, you know, you get chatting to all sorts of different folks there. And the guy, interesting fact as well, I had no idea about this, Marcus Rau, he's the lead guy of the German garrison. And by all accounts, it was him that had suggested even doing another Celebration Europe. He brought the idea to Lucasfilm a couple of years ago. Wow. And so, yeah, I had no idea. I assumed that that it would have all come from, you know, the Lucasfilm guys themselves, but apparently it was this guy, Marcus, who suggested it. Wow, what a round of applause he got, you know, when he did his speech, because obviously the CEO of wherever the event is held kind of does the keynote speech. So that was a fascinating evening as well. There were so many highlights. It was mainly chatting to people, making new friends, and there was a press conference, for example. They had Mark and Carrie came, and Peter Mayhew, who's struggling a little bit with his knees at the moment. I think he's waiting for some operations on his knees, was there. Anthony Daniels, Warwick, and Jeremy. And Jeremy managed to mention the caravan, which was very cool, at the press conference. And Ian McDiarmid came out as well. But it was a proper press conference. That was definitely a highlight, because everybody was so relaxed. There was no, you know, you can generally tell, you know, people are usually a bit jet-lagged or a bit, you know, not fractious, but tired, which Hamill and Fisher were, and they didn't stick around for too long because they'd literally just flown in and kind of made an appearance and went back to their rooms. But everybody else was just sitting there and chatting and just shooting the breeze, really. And this easy vibe came over from them. I thought that was a very cool cool moment. So. Yeah, lots of cool moments.
What were some of the costumes you saw that stuck out in your mind? If you can remember any.
I tell you, the one that really was hugely impressive. There was two actually that were hugely impressive. Lots of very cool ones. In fact, no, there was three that was hugely impressive. I'll start with the first one. Some guy or girl, don't know, never saw inside the costume, had made, and it must have been, it must have been 15 foot tall, Wampa.
I saw the pictures of that.
And they were walking around it. Oh, it was. I didn't even know this thing was coming. And there was two guys in front who were sort of gently moving people out of the way, because whoever was in there was stomping along and would have had very limited vision. But the arms were moving, the legs were moving, the head would move. You know, it would make roaring noises, you know, straight out of the film. Absolutely brilliant. Somebody else, a guy called Simon Wilkie, who lives in Norwich in the UK, has built, along with his wife, a almost screen-perfect C-3PO costume. He's about the same height and size as Anthony Daniels. He's late 20s, and he does a lot of stuff for Make-A-Wish. So we saw him. He actually came by the stand and had some pictures took on the stand, but his 3PO really was impressive. And now he's working hard to sort of perfect the mannerisms and, you know, and kind of get the voice down. And that was very impressive. But I think one of the really neat things, given that Rebels is going to use the Ralph McQuarrie artwork as kind of a starting point, you know, that style will be its sort of template style almost. The 501st have got now four or five McQuarrie troopers. They've actually gone back to the original Ralph McQuarrie conceptual art for the original Star Wars before they sort of slightly rejigged the stormtroopers into what we know today. And they've made these McQuarrie troopers, and they were just amazing.
I really saw pictures of those. Those are really cool looking.
Yeah, and we, you know, with the Dark Horse series, the Star Wars coming out next month, I think that whole sort of retro look back at what might have been with the original Star Wars has really got people interested at the moment. Certainly got me interested. But these things just looked amazing. And one of my best friends is a guy called Paul Bateman, who used to work with Ralph.
Mm-hmm.
He was just totally blown away because you couldn't ask for a more, to make this thing, to make it to the level of quality these guys have made it, the detail, proper labour of love. And I think Paul was really impressed with that. So I'd say they, for the costuming, they were very impressive. Lots of, actually kind of genius, but scary. There was a guy going around dressed as Ula.
Oh, God.
Did you see the pictures?
I did not see that one, no.
You know, there's certain things you see and you can't unsee. You know when you die and your life flashes before your eyes? I now know that one of the things that will flash before my eyes will be a short German guy painted green dressed as Ula. Yeah, and he met Femi Taylor, and there's a picture of him and Femi Taylor with having their photographs. The worst thing was he walked past and I saw him at the corner of my eye, and I thought, oh no, and I realised what it was. But once you've seen it, you can't unsee it, can you? So.
He is certainly a braver costumer than I am.
Certainly took, I was going to say took balls, that's not right, not the right word. But certainly took some courage, yeah.
So any parting thoughts from your Celebration Europe and Caravan of the Force experience this year?
Yeah, I think there is. I think I'm proud to put us a punch that we did the caravan because it took a lot of hard work, a massive majority of that coming from James. But on the day, over the weekend, Matt and Dave just worked like Trojans. And we've got another guy who does stuff for us called Brian Cameron. And we met Brian for the first time, another treat of the convention. He's a smashing guy. That was very cool. And also, and I want to mention somebody as well, and it's a nice opportunity to do it, and I'll make sure he hears this. We've got some comic reviewers on the site, and one of them is a guy called Zach. Now, when you talk to people over the internet, you know, you don't really know how old they are, what their circumstances are. You just know we're all Star Wars fans, and we want to talk about Star Wars and have a good time together, and that's all that really matters, really. So we were on the stand and shaking the money can, and This guy comes over and he says, "Hello, I thought he said I write for your website." And I said, "Oh, who are you?" And he says, "Zach." I went, "Hello, Zach." But there's a kid stood next to him, and I obviously completely misread the situation because it turns out that the guy I was shaking hands of was the uncle of this kid who was Zach, and this kid's about 11.
Oh wow!
And he does one of the comic reviews for us on Jedi News. He does. He's been doing them for about 2 or 3 months. So I was so pleased. I was like, "Wow!" And so all the little freebies we got, he had everything, you know. And if anything else you want to write for the mag, for the website, send it in because I love what he writes. But that was definitely a highlight because you don't know, do you? I wouldn't speak to anybody online and go, "By the way, how old are you?" You know, it's none of my business. But when this kid turned out to be like 11, 12, you know, that sort of age, I was like, wow, well done. So so if Zach listens to this, hello Zach, keep up the great work. So that was definitely a definitely a highlight. The fact that it came back to Europe, you know, 6 years ago, that first celebration was just amazing, and we all had a fantastic time. It was a sort of a landstone moment for UK Star Wars fans. So we've always wanted another Europe event. Obviously, we would have loved it in London, but Germany is equally as deserving as would France or Spain or anywhere else be of a Star Wars convention. So it was a big deal for it to come back to Europe, especially with the films being made here again. So, and really, yeah, roll on the next 2 years. I can't wait for Anaheim.
Yeah,
absolutely. And fingers crossed, hopefully we can catch up with you and the rest of the Jedi News crew there.
Yeah, that would be
definitely
awesome.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right, so that's Cammy's Concerns this week, a lovely recap of Celebration Europe with our friend Mark Newbold of Jedi News. And Mark, before we sign off, where can we find you online?
You can find us at Jedi News, jedinews.co.uk. You can find me on Twitter at, I've changed my Twitter handle, haven't I? It's MarkNewbold1971, I think I am at the moment. You can go to the caravan. So that is justgiving/caravan-of-the-force and give us all your money. I've just been given my own tag on the official blog. So I've been blogging on there with James for a while, but I'm doing some of my own bits on there now as well. So quite pleased about that. So there's you can go to the official Star Wars blog and there's some stuff there. I think my latest one is about Star Wars in the UK from a fan's perspective, but looking back at the prequels, specifically Phantom Menace. So that was an interesting time and nice thing to talk about and write about. I think that's about it. I think I've talked far too much tonight.
Perish the thought. But thank you again so much for coming back on the show. And yeah, we're definitely going to have you back before too long.
Yep.
Oh, anytime. Yeah, brilliant. Love to.
Awesome. So we're going to go ahead and wrap the show up there. Thank you for listening to another episode. It's going to be a couple of weeks before Nancy and I are back, but Bria and Emily will be pinch hitting for us a week while we're gone. We'll let you all know when that's going to happen.
Yep.
I'm sure it'll be a fun adventure. you can catch us, before we sign off, one last note from our sponsors. This episode of Tosche Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Click the links on the blog to help us keep the lights on and to keep the podcast mixer powered on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles at Tosche_station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with at Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tosche Station Network. We're available in the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, do leave a review. You can find our columns and news at Tosche-station.net. That's the official blog of the show. Thank you for listening to another episode, and we will catch you next time.
Bye!
Bye!
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TosheStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tosche Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.